Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The day of fishing was finished. The men were washing their nets after having dropped them in the lake multiple times, coming up with nothing, downtrodden and disappointed, not having brought anything in for their business that night. They were caring for their equipment before they would call it a day and go home to their families. Then Jesus appears and climbs into Simon Peter's boat and asks him to take him out a little from the shore. A tired business owner ready to go home and rest, Simon Peter complies without question to Jesus' command and takes him out so that Jesus can teach the crowds from the boat. Having taught the crowds, Jesus then commands Simon to take his boat out further and drop his nets again for a catch. This time, Simon uses his business experience to push back a little, insisting they have already attempted to catch fish tonight with no results. Having said his piece, he then submits to Jesus' request, saying, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Why does Simon take Jesus out without question when he gets in the boat? Is he not tired after a long day? If we go back in the Gospel of Luke to last week's reading of Jesus preaching in his hometown synagogue and keep reading, there are several stories the lectionary skips over to get us to today's reading. After telling his hometown parishioners that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and has anointed him to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, as Jesus is the awaited Messiah, Jesus is then chased out of town for what is perceived to be false prophecy, a crime punished by being thrown off a cliff. Yet rather than falling to his death, this story merely foreshadows his impending death on the cross. And Jesus amazingly walks through the midst of the angry mob, undeterred from continuing his ministry. Jesus goes on to Capernaum and rebukes an unclean demon who recognizes Jesus as the Holy One of God. He commands the demon to be silent and come out of the man. And the unclean demon comes out and leaves the man unharmed. This exorcism generates reports about Jesus' authority and power to every place in the region. Next, Jesus enters Simon Peter's house, whose mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Jesus stands over Simon's mother-in-law and rebukes the fever, and it leaves her, and she immediately got up and began to serve him. Then all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them, and continued to rebuke the demons and cause them to leave those they tortured. Then he went to a deserted place, and the crowds followed him and wanted to prevent him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued to proclaim the message in other synagogues of Judea. His mission was to build up the kingdom of God on earth through his teaching and gathering followers wherever he proclaimed the good news through word and deed. A personal story of mine, at the beginning of the war in Iraq, or the war with Iraq, I should say, my base, I'm a prior logistics officer with the Air Force. My base was tasked with a mission to build up a bear base in the Middle East so that the Air Force could provide air support to the Army and Marines and airmen on the ground. We brought quite a few troops with us to start, somewhere around 900 members. But the place where we were going had nothing but an airfield and a headquarters building for our use. In order to build up the base to carry out our mission, the wing commander gathered a dozen people from each specialty, including myself, to follow his commands, where he would equip and empower us to build up the base, to house, feed, and equip 7,000 troops to carry out the mission of F-15s and C-130s flying into combat zones in Iraq in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. It took the servant leadership of 12 people to lay the foundation to carry out the mission of a cause greater than ourselves. We relied not on our own skills and experience, but on the empowering of the leader, the equipping of our leader, so that we could empower and equip the people who served under us. It took all of us, but it also took trust in our leadership. Jesus, knowing that he would soon be crucified, rise, and ascend to God, had crowds follow him because of his good news, that God loves and desires a relationship with all people. Yet he needed an initial group that would grow deeper in their trust by following him, learning from and being sent with the anointing of the Spirit, which empowered them to heal, cast out demons, and share the grace of Jesus with all people. So he began gathering his disciples. Simon Peter had encountered Jesus prior to today's story and saw Jesus' healing power in his mother-in-law. Having firsthand experience with Jesus, he did not object to Jesus' command to take him out on the lake so that he could teach. However, later in today's story, Simon begins to challenge Jesus. When Jesus commanded him to go out further and drop the nets, his logical mind struggles to see the fruitfulness of Jesus' command. Yet he obeys, and they go out and drop his nets again. What happens is the opposite of what Simon expected. Rather than empty nets, Jesus' presence brought abundance of fish. So many the old nets could not hold them, and they began to break. Simon, realizing he needed some help with his catch, summons the others to come out and bring in the bounty. With this epiphany of Jesus' power to bring about abundance from nothing, Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He was worried. But the good news is that rather than leaving Simon Peter, who confessed his brokenness, Jesus reassures him and gives him a new mission to replace his old one. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. Simon's confession is met with grace and call. When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. They left their middle-class business to pursue the new mission Jesus gave them, to share the good news in Jesus Christ and grow the kingdom of God on earth. That required faith. Faith that Jesus would provide, empower, and equip them for mission. Faith that their identity was not in what they did, but what Jesus did for them and could bring about through them, through his love and grace. They must have had an epiphany that the kingdom of God had more to provide for them and others than anything they could provide for themselves. Why else would they leave all that they knew behind to follow Jesus? It's illogical. It's faith. Gathered by the Holy Spirit in worship, we come to hear the word proclaimed, share Holy Communion, and are sent out to go in peace to share the good news to a hungry world in need. Often we wonder why God would entrust us to be the bearer of such good news. The prophets and apostles had similar anxieties. Isaiah declares, "I am a man of unclean lips." Paul asserts, "I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Simon Peter responds to Jesus' miracle of plenty by saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Yet without question, God used these flawed and fragile human beings to proclaim God's mercy and love. And God calls us in baptism to proclaim his mercy and love to all whom we encounter. In a world where we are constantly being told that we are insufficient, that we do not have enough, know enough, or matter enough, God's trust in our capacities seems foolish, even irrational. But notice Jesus precedes a call to discipleship with a miracle pointing to God's abundant provision, signaling that we will be given all we need. Martin Luther writes in the Babylonian Captivity of the Church, "What I accept not on my own merits or by any right that I may personally have to it. I know that I am receiving more than a worthless one like me deserves. Indeed, I have deserved the very opposite. But I claim what I claim by the right of a bequest and of another's goodness." Jesus meets us all at the shorelines of our own lives, going about our daily work, and calls us all to lifelong discipleship. Caught up in God's abundant grace and fed out of that bounty, all of us are commissioned in baptism to go and catch others. How might that look in your daily lives and in the life of St. Matthew? Something for you to consider as you respond to the survey that is being sent out once again today via e-blast, that will help the council move forward in the calling of the next pastor at the conclusion of this interim season. Something to consider as you pray about and trust in God's mercy and grace and love for you. That in Christ we are all made new, day after day, when we confess our sin and remember our baptism, that we are tied to Christ Jesus, crucified and risen, for the sake of our abundant life in him and abundant life for the world. May the Spirit renew and strengthen you all as you are fed and sent today from Christ's table to proclaim the good news in Jesus Christ to all you encounter. Amen.